Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, the 17th of June. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, hi.
Or should I say, hey? Because it sounds like we've got quite the story here with a new app that is attempting to make it to the App Store, which is called Hey.
Yes, it's an email app, and there is a great big row brewing with Apple. It tried to submit 1.0.1 of its app. Mm-hmm. Basically, they say it was a few bug fixes from the original.
Yes.
And it was rejected by the App Store reviewers.
Because?
Apparently, well, if you've read the App Store guidelines, you'll know that Rule 3.1.1 says that if you want people to be able to buy, to spend money and buy things in your app, you need to use Apple's payment system.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently,
which is officially, it's a thing that we refer to as in-app purchase.
Correct.
So, and that's the thing where Apple gets a taste, I guess we could call it.
I assume that is how they get their 30%, right?
Yes.
Right. And so Apple clearly felt, hey, the email app was trying to bypass this, and is not very happy. And now it's now under review, and there's a bit of a row brewing. There's a write up over on the MacObserver.com about it. It's all come from an interview with an outlet called Protocol.
Mm-hmm.
The piece I've written on it links back to that, and there's all sorts of different details in it. But it's just another example of developers pushing back against App Store rules. We've seen the row with Spotify is the famous one. There's been a row with Netflix as well, haven't there?
Yeah.
Where they're just like, we don't need you. People want to Netflix and chill. They don't need to do it through the App Store. There's a whole thing going on, and there's a second element to it, which we'll discuss later in the show about issues arising in Europe. But, apparently I think version 1.0.2 got stuck under review. Mm-hmm. Okay, so obviously Apple has the power to make or break these kind of apps. Hey is not some huge super, it's not Netflix, it's
right.
Not Spotify.
It's not $99. The Amazon app, yeah.
No, exactly. It costs $99. It is,
well, the service does. This thing is a service. So I think it's a subscription.
Correct.
Yeah, so it's a $99 a year subscription, Apple Music, Amazon Prime is an annual subscription, all this stuff. Yeah. So something we're very familiar with.
Yeah. And obviously Apple wanted to make sure that it was getting a cut of the subscriptions and felt that Hey was finding a way to prevent that. And so it's a mess. It's a row, and it's appearing in many different ways, and it's a bit of a whack-a-mole Apple are going through at the moment, as we'll discuss in a bit, because every time they seem to dampen one of these rows, it reappears somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And it's becoming a kind of perennial problem, whether it's, as I say, a smaller email app like this,
mm-hmm.
or a really big deal like Spotify. Just because you mentioned the Amazon app,
mm-hmm.
I want to just chuck out there that Amazon have now updated the app so that you can use Amazon Smile on the iOS version of the app. This is very exciting.
It's very cool.
Yes, I've written up all about it on themacobserver.com and how you can set it up. And it means you can select your charity and 0.5% of your purchase goes to the charity without any extra cost to you. So that's very nice.
It costs you nothing. And then out of nowhere, whatever charity you have chosen, get some cash kicked their way. And it's great. I've been using it for ages on Amazon, and it makes me very happy.
And it used to be only on Android and the web, and now it's on iOS as well. So as you say, Apple obviously feels it's more able to push back against something like Hey, but it's becoming a bit of a mess.
Yeah. And you did mention, this is a smaller app. It's new. It's something that very, very recently came out. And part of the reason that it's, I think part of the reason it's getting the attention it's getting is because, like, Apple has done this to much smaller developers, but the folks who were behind Basecamp, if anybody remembers using that, those are the folks behind the Hey app. And so,
yeah, and they're pushing back quite hard.
Yes.
I mean, one of the execs whose name I'm going to mispronounce horribly, and I'm so sorry, Hanemeyer Hansen, said, "There is never in a million years a way that I am paying Apple a third of our revenues. That is obscene and it's criminal. I will spend every dollar that we have or ever make to burn this down until we get somewhere better."
You go, Hanemeyer Hansen. Hanemeyer Hansen? Yeah. I apologize, but for probably also massacring your name. But thank you. Part of the reason,
I mean, I think it's unclear where he stands on this issue.
Yeah, you know, it's really not great when the head of a company comes out and is very wishy-washy, you know, and you can't really tell what position they're taking.
It's David Hanemeyer Hansen, to give him his full name.
Okay. Here's the part of that that's interesting to me, is that I think one of the, and I understand that this is possibly a very cynical take, but I think one of the things that Apple sort of uses as their defense in something like this is the amount of money that developers make in the App Store. Because like, we just had an announcement about how Apple has paid out like $500 billion or something through App Store revenue. And
sounds
how
very Oprah, doesn't it? $500 billion, y'all.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that part of what Apple is doing is sort of pointing out that this is a whole economy that didn't exist before the App Store, and, you know, all of that. And I get that, like, it's great that that's a thing, that there are developers who are completely making money by having something in the App Store, and they can finance the app and their development. And maybe there's a couple of people whose primary income is something that they've released in the App Store, right? Like, that's great. I'm super excited for you. But that 30%, like, it is. I'm legitimately happy for people who, really want to do is pursue being a developer full-time, and they have found iOS as a way to do that, and that it's possible, I'm very excited for you. If you're one of those people, please email observations@macobserver.com. Talk to us about your app and about your journey to being a developer. I'm absolutely here for it. However,
how many of those people are being put off by 30% that you know, David Hanemeyer Hansen referred to as a tax?
Right. So, yeah. So, you know, when it was $1 billion, that means Apple made a third of $1 billion on those payouts, right? Because there was a 30%, you know, extra on that. So
let's be really, just be absolutely clear about what that ecosystem you're talking about, if I have a moment to do so. So
yes, absolutely.
So the App Store ecosystem supported $519 billion in billings and sales globally in 2019. Mm-hmm. 85% of that went to third-party developers and various size businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that even $519 billion went to various developers. A third of that, 85% of that went to those third-party
developers.
Oh, no,
I'm talking about that's the money that they paid out. So then 30% on top of that number is what Apple made on all of that.
Correct. Yeah. So the point is that it's created a huge ecosystem.
Yes.
But we need to be,
and that's great,
as you've outlined, we need to be very clear exactly where the money's going.
Right. Because, and there's sort of a reason I called it a taste, and I think because that's sometimes a thing that you hear from mafia people in movies when they are talking, and TV shows, to be fair. When they are talking about the kickback that they receive for the service of basically being the mob in your vicinity. And I kind of get the feeling that this is what the hate developers are feeling like right now. We've also seen this sort of dust up. We saw it with Netflix for a while. I think in-app purchases back in the app in Netflix. The Amazon app, the Comixology app, which is owned by Amazon, you cannot make an app purchase in that app because Amazon doesn't want to give it to Apple either. So you have to leave the app and go to Amazon and buy. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And is that... Is this the reason why I can't buy an ebook directly in Audible? Is it stupidity or this rule? Like my stupidity, although...
Yes. It's entirely possible. It's because Amazon... Like, aside from the app, the Amazon app itself, which lets you buy things.
Buy stuff.
You know, it's just sort of a hook into their storefront. Aside from that, I don't think there's any... Like, if you downloaded the Prime Video app and did not have Amazon Prime and wanted to just sign up for $10 a month, I don't think you can do it in the app. I think you have to do it on the website. I think Amazon has completely gotten out of that game. You know, we've seen this same sort of thing happens on the media side as well. You know, and Charlotte, I'm pretty sure this is a thing that you've covered, where, you know, magazines are not jazzed about, you know, part of why you don't see just everybody in News Plus is because there's no way to get subscriber information from Apple if people are subscribing through the app. And just, you know, there's a People Magazine app in the App Store, and if you subscribe through the People Magazine app, then Apple gets 30% of that subscription for the first year.
Yeah, that's why the big newspapers didn't want to be involved.
Right.
New York Times was like, we can do this without being in News Plus.
Exactly. And I think there's a certain amount of that Apple is sort of trying to fend off with these announcements about, like, this is how much money we pay developers. I think part of the reason they do that is the transparency. Like, it's a good thing to let people know that this is a thing that they're doing.
It's the run up to WWDC, and they can be like, yay, developers.
Yeah. And they will most likely give us more hard numbers at WWDC. They usually do. There's a moment where they talk about the developer community and, you know, how much money has been paid out and all of that. Like, we get that during the keynote every year.
If you look at that release on the website, it says physical goods and services was $413 billion. Digital goods and services was $61 billion. In-app advertising, $45 billion. Total estimated, which brings total estimated sales and billings to $519 billion.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That's many monies.
Almost all the monies. Not all the monies, because... it's only almost all the monies, which is clear evidence that Apple is a failure. Because we're going to get that analysis too. I'm interested to see where this goes with Hey. And I'm also very interested to see...
I believe the answer to that could be court.
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Being flippant, but, you know, we've seen the quotes from both sides. The people on the Hay side are clearly not going to back down. So
yeah. This feels very irresistible force, a movable object right now, and I'm very interested to see what happens. And I've said before, if Apple took a little lesser cut, I don't think it would hurt anybody if this went down to 25% or even 20%. You know, that Apple takes on this. I don't think it would have a deleterious effect, no matter, you know, on either side of that equation. So I think, maybe we'll see.
You might even get people making more apps because they...
Right? Yeah. Well, yeah, 20% doesn't feel nearly as offensive, I think, as 30%. So maybe there's something there. I understand that Apple doesn't need to make a certain amount to make money. I look forward to your letters. Observations at macobserver.com. So I also want to tell you today about our sponsor. Our sponsor is Devon Technologies. They make an app called Devon Think, which helps you handle your information fire hose. They do so with artificial intelligence. And Devon Think allows you to file, edit, annotate, and manage all of the documents and all of the bits of information that you have that you need to collect. You never have to leave the app. You can load up a web page like a Google Doc right next to a local file. You can tag files. You can organize them into groups or both. You know, you do you. You can have smart rules, which are like smart playlists in iTunes. And you can add reminders, very flexible reminders, to anything that you have there in Devon Think. And you can also automate a lot of parts of your workflow and let Devon Think just sort of handle all the boring, repetitive stuff for you. And that even works if you are not a programmer. So it's a very great tool to use. And just for my listeners, there's a 10% discount waiting on either a shiny new license of Devon Think 3 or an upgrade. And 10% off upgrade pricing is a very, very good deal. You can get that at devontechnologies.com/TDO. It's D-E-V-O-N technologies.com/TDO. 10% off a full version or an upgrade. devontechnologies.com/TDO. And I'd like to thank Devon Technologies for sponsoring the show today. Now, Charlotte, you made mention of of Apple going to court, and the thing is, Apple should be pretty comfortable in court now, because we think they might head back over this Hay stuff, but we know they're headed back over in your neck of the woods.
Well, we don't know a couple of things. We don't know this will end up in court, and Britain is not in the EU anymore. But
that's true. Well, I said EU, your neck of the woods. It's not your neighborhood, but yeah,
it's over.
There's far closer to you than I.
It's a swim away. But yes, earlier this week, the EU opened two formal antitrust investigations into Apple. That was on Tuesday. It's looking into in-app purchases, the kind of thing we were just talking about, and whether that violates its antitrust rules, and also an issue we've discussed here before around Apple Pay. If this conversation sounds a bit familiar to you, dear listener, I apologise. We have been here before. But, the point is that the EU is not letting up. It is continuing to push this. It's now launching two formal probes into Apple. Mm-hmm. That follows the App Store in-app purchase bit is what we were talking about before, and there's been complaints about Spotify, which is cited in the EU's announcement, and also Kobo, the ebooks and audiobook vendor. The second bit is if Apple Pay breaches the rules, because it doesn't, an iPhone, the only NFC payment solution you're allowed on your iPhone is Apple Pay.
Mm-hmm.
I've always found that bit slightly harder to get my head around.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see, like, I've never quite understood why that people find the idea that Apple, the only payment system you're allowed on an Apple device is Apple's payment system, objectionable.
Well, I don't know why that's objectionable, but Android devices only having Android Pay is not.
Yeah, that's not 100% true. So on a Samsung device, for instance, on a Galaxy on a Galaxy Edge phone that I've used before, you can have Samsung Pay and Android Pay.
Okay, but if I don't have a Samsung phone, I can't have Samsung Pay, right?
I would assume that is correct. I've never tested a non-Samsung Android phone for a long, long time, but I assume you're correct. That would be the argument that it's slightly different, but as I say, I don't think it's particularly unreasonable,
well,
in my personal opinion, that, Apple says this is an Apple phone, this is the payment system you can use on this phone.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't seem, I don't see why you should need to, or Apple should have to facilitate Android Pay on an iPhone.
Well, and I'm with you. Part of it is also, I have used the Starbucks app to pay for stuff at Starbucks on my phone.
Right.
And that didn't use Apple Pay.
We could go to Starbucks.
Yeah, remember going places? That was awesome. I've used the Starbucks app to pay for stuff on my phone. They scan the card. I have a balance on a card. They scan the card. I get my coffee or whatever. So it's not like you can't pay for anything if you don't use Apple Pay on your device. So that's part of why I have a hard time getting my head around that piece.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. That's a good point, actually.
I use that, and I'm not locked into Apple's payment card, right? Like, I can use the balance on my Square account, the balance on my PayPal account. I can use my Visa from the credit card company. I can use my debit card as part of Apple Pay. It's pretty democratic. So
I have a variety of cards linked to the wallet app on my iPhone. That bit's always confused me. It confused me the first time we had this conversation, goodness knows how many months ago. It will continue to confuse me.
Yes.
But anyway, but the obviously more pertinent thing, particularly following our previous conversation, is the kind of in-app purchase issue. Mm-hmm. Margaret Vestager, who's the commissioner in charge of EU policy, or competition policy, said that it appears that Apple obtained a gatekeeper role when it comes to the distribution of apps and content to users of Apple's popular devices. We need to ensure that Apple rules do not distort competition in markets where Apple is competing with other app developers. For example, Standby. Music streaming service, Apple Music, or with Apple Books.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to me to see, mostly because I want everyone to have to live by the same rule, right? So,
yeah,
you know.
I don't particularly... Now, so if Spotify doesn't want to pay Apple 30%, fair enough. And I mean, I'm pretty sure, didn't they find a way of there was ways you could access either Spotify or Netflix, the story escapes me, that you didn't get it through the App Store. Was it Spotify that just took it out of the App Store at one point?
I think so. That seems right. And you could like load up the web version or something instead.
Well, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is like, oh, I'm on an iPhone, I can't use Spotify anymore.
Yeah, that's not what's happening. So just like there was I can't read books anymore, you know, either. So
no, yeah. Do you know what it was? The row was because Spotify removed the in-app purchasing, didn't it? As we said before. And yeah, it, like the app was there, but you couldn't make a subscription or a purchase.
Right. You couldn't start new. You had to be an existing. If you were already paying, then you could sign into the app and continue to use the app as part of your subscription.
Upset when it sent you out of the app to the website.
Yeah. Which was,
anyway,
we'll see how this goes.
I think it's right and proper and excellent that there is competition between all these services, because it's better for us if they keep pushing each other on price.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure why Apple is more of a gatekeeper than others. Yeah, and I know Apple, because of the App Store, it does have that gatekeeper role, actually, doesn't it? I mean, we know it because...
Well, but there's also the hardware-software combination, and I think on Android, that's not necessarily the case. But yeah, Google does, you know, I guess there is, you know, some sort of approval process to get into the Google Store, so yeah.
Yeah, but you can download things not on the store.
Sure.
Which is not really a thing on iPhones.
So... we will tell you more about all of these things as they develop. And if you have a strong feeling about this one way or another, as always, you can talk to us at observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and comments in the show notes. Charlotte, as always, thank you so much for being here today. It's lovely to have you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.